whole East Coast, West Coast thing was going down between, I think it was, I remember that whole the whole thing was going down. But I think before that, though, before Puffy became big, we were doing Clonkers. And I had one of my midnight sessions that I was supposed to have, as Spike found out. So I was working with this young artist named Darlena Spears, and she had just come from New Orleans, and she had this music. And so we were in a small studio in this guy's house, actually, in Manhattan. And so we had been there all night, and so I was sleeping on the sofa. And this guy comes in, he buzzes, it's booze, you know, and the David, who was the, who ran the studio, was his studio, lets the guy in, right? So I'm there, and I'm half nodding, and this guy hits me with his knee. Wake up, man, wake up. And I look up, I say, hey, man, what's up? He said, oh, I said, Puffy, what's up, man? You know, gave him a pound or whatever. He said, yeah. He said, listen, man, what's up with your man? How come Spike? How come he don't want to get back to me, man? What's up, right? And I said, yo, man, listen, I'll take care of it. Give me the cassette tape. He said, listen, I got Biggie. And I got Craig Mack. Those are my artists right now. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm working with. Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to give them to you, and then you're going to give them to Spike. I said, I'm going to give them to me, I'm going to give them to Spike. I said, can I get one too? Can I get a copy? He said, yeah, you're going to get your copy, right? He had an assistant with him, and even then he had a bodyguard, even then, right? But I got the sense this guy is going to be big. For some reason, as I'm looking at him and talking to him, you could just tell he was just destined for a big thing. Even though he didn't know what he was going to do, but he was like, hey, look, I got, you know, Biggie, and I got Craig Mack. He said, man, nobody even know about this stuff, man. He said, man, tell Spike to put these guys on, please. I said, all right, we'll do. I'll do my best, whatever. So his assistant wrote it down, and sure enough, you know, Buzzer came to, so when he left, right, the engineer, David, right, he goes, who was that? Was that Puffy? I said, yeah, that was Puffy. He said, you didn't even introduce me, man. Yo, Mike, oh my God, that's, you don't know who that is. I said, yeah, that's Puffy, man. What? He said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. I said, I can give him a call, whatever. You guys want to talk maybe later. I said, whatever. I'm sleepy. So I said, let's just finish what we're doing here. He's like, all right, whatever. So we finished that and I left. So sure enough, you know, 2 days later, buzzer rang, and so Spike wasn't there, thank God, because the dude said, yeah, I got a message from Puffy, man, you're dropping something. I said, be quiet, man, I'll come right down. So I jumped and ran downstairs, took the package, signed for him, said, yeah, man, all right, look, out. And went back upstairs, man, and I didn't say nothing, man, so I got the cassettes, it was Flavor in Your Ear, or whatever, so I popped them in, I was like, oh yeah, I said, Spike, man, yo, man, Biggie, man, this kid, he's like, he's from around here. He's right over here, right? So he's, wow, well, I don't know. I said, yo, Spike, hit a cassette, man. That's my only copy. See, that's your only copy? Make a copy. So I made a copy. And he actually put the song in one of these research screenings, you know? And so he actually put one of Biggie's songs in the research screening, and everybody's like, "Yo, I liked it, right?" And but he finally didn't use it in Clonkers. But and I told Puffy, I said, "Man, he didn't use it." But I said he did use it in a research screening, and he liked it. But he said, you know, he wanted to do something else. You know, he wanted to come up with his. He said, "That's all right, man. It's all right, man. Good. You're good. If you need anything, you know, holler, right?" And afterwards, I got a chance to hang out with him a little bit more. At his office and stuff. But then that was, I don't think he remembered, you know, what happened. But then after that, he just took off, became Puff Daddy. But that was my one Puff Daddy, you know, story. But I had a couple of incidents like that with different people. Never met Suge. Now I did meet Tupac. couple of times, and he was totally different. One way he could be, Tupac was, of course, hard when he needed to be hard. Mm-hmm. And then you see him at a party, he's networking, completely different guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, completely different. Hey, how's it going? Whatever, boom. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, handled himself completely different. So, don't know what happened there with Pac, but I mean, was he true to you know what he was doing? And yeah, I would say that he you know, he really was. He really was true, one of the true artists, you know. But getting caught up in, you know, other people's thing, you know, especially with Suge Knight. He did get, I think he got caught up in that. I think he regretted, you know, doing that, you know. But it was unfortunate. I mean, he was a true, he was one of the true, you know, true artists. But other than that, let's see, Jizza, met him, know Jizza pretty good. Met the RZA. He's pretty, you know, pretty good. Method Man, met all those guys. Didn't get a chance to meet Nas and some of those guys. Run DMC, I think I met them like once or twice. There's another guy though, I don't know if you want to talk to him. His name is Roy Cormier. And Roy was a promoter for Russell Simmons back in the day. But he's got like all of the. Russell, he's got all of the other stories. Let me see.
Sick. I'm gonna